Hello, my name is Mahendra Gupte. Today we'll look at Chapter 5, Contracts in Supply Chain Management. In supply chain management, contracts ensure smooth operations and minimize risks. We understood what was an agreement, but let's go through again. What is an agreement? An informal arrangement between parties with a shared goal without legal implications. And then what is a contract? A legally binding agreement with specific terms enforceable by law. What we are trying to say here when we talk of an agreement is that an agreement is an informal agreement like you would have between two friends or colleagues at office. But when that agreement or that contract becomes binding or needs to be binding on both the parties, then we need to look at that agreement getting converted to a contract which has specific terms, conditions, and is enforceable by law. Difference between a contract and agreement. A contract is legally binding with enforceable terms, while an agreement is informal and non-binding, as we just understood in the explanation before. When is a contract necessary? A contract is needed to protect rights and ensure legal protection for both parties. Agreement examples. Agreements are informal with no legal obligations, typically made for mutual understanding without intent to enforce. Which means, when we look at a contract, when is it necessary? When you need both the parties to abide by certain terms and conditions and stick to their side of the deal. When we are looking at agreement examples, agreements are, as I said, something that is informal and between friends, colleagues, even family members, cousins, everybody else. An agreement involves two or more parties with a common intent but lacks legal enforcement, which means that while there you could specify terms, conditions in case if required, but you are not making it a legal document and hence, it will not be enforceable by law. Let's look at examples of contracts. Common contracts include non-disclosure agreements, master service agreement, employment contracts, end-user license agreement, or a purchase order. Contracts serve to protect the rights of each party and can take various forms. Let's understand each of these. Non-disclosure agreements, usually signed between two people whenever you are either a company and the person, maybe as a consultant being appointed by the company, or somebody who's working at the research and development department of a company, where certain information cannot be shared by the individual anywhere outside. Master service agreement is what we all sign or rather get abide by when we buy high cost electronic goods, just as an example, where we sign an agreement that the servicing would be done by us if required at the official or the authorized service centers only. This is very true in automobiles as well. Employment contract, a contract that you as an employee sign when you take up a job. Most of the time, we don't really read the conditions of an employment contract. But hence, going forward from today, I would suggest, please read the terms and conditions of every employment contract that you sign in the future. End user license agreement. What happens here is when you are wanting to use, let's say you use Microsoft Office. You are using that version of Microsoft Office under license from Microsoft. So you are signing an end user license agreement for using the software for a given period of time. If that version is the lifetime version, then also you will have signed a ULA, that EULA, which is the license agreement. Purchase order, every supply chain manager, supply chain person will identify with this purchase order. Purchase order is nothing else but a contract between the company, that is you, and the supplier. The Indian Contract Act, The Act governs contracts in India effective from September 1, 1872. The key definitions are proposal. A person offers to act or refrain to get the assent of another. What this means is that for a contract to be valid, you need a proposal to be given, offered by one person and accepted by the other party. So let's look at what happens in an insurance deal. The insurance company offers you, makes an offer to you saying that they would insure you or your assets for an X amount, condition that you pay a premium of so much, and then you have some certain terms and conditions to abide to, or terms and conditions that they say under which they would cover your assets or your life. Now, this is where once you agree, then it becomes the proposal has been accepted by you. Acceptance, when the proposal is accepted, it becomes a promise. The offerer is the promisor and the acceptor is the promisee, which means that once you have accepted the proposal, the insurance company, in our example, is the offerer and the promisor, and you as the acceptor is the promisee. Agreement, a promise or set of promises forming mutual consideration. Let's understand here, consideration means a certain exchange of value, either in terms of money or some benefits that between the two parties. A promise or a set of promises forming mutual consideration is an agreement. Void agreement, an agreement not enforceable by law. So which means we looked at if the agreement is not legally made, it is not enforceable by law. So any agreement, even if it is made as a contract, which is enforceable by law, but if either of the parties have violated certain conditions or certain requirements of that contract, then the agreement or the contract is void. Contract, an agreement enforceable by law. We saw this earlier. Voidable contract, an agreement enforceable at the option of one or more parties, but not others, which means that an agreement which is enforceable at the option of one or both the parties, if there are two parties, but not anybody else, which means nobody else can try and enforce an agreement, then the contract would be void. The Indian Contract Act, 1872, governs business transactions and is divided into two parts. General principles, specific contracts, indemnity and guarantee, bailment and pledge, agency. What is a valid contract? Valid contract is an agreement. An agreement becomes a contract if made with free consent by competent parties for lawful consideration and objectives and is not void. We looked at what are the preconditions for a contract to be valid, where you need it to be of free consent, which means none of the parties is forced into signing that contract, and both the parties are competent, which means that they know what the terms and conditions mean, they are of sound mind, and they are above the age of 21. For lawful consideration and objective, which means that there has to be some exchange of value because of that contract or that agreement, and there should be an objective in terms of something in exchange for something. So there has to be a consideration and an objective. That's how it is termed in law. And it is not valid, which means that again, neither of the conditions that are laid down for a contract are not accepted, which means that if either of them is not fulfilled, the contract will become invalid. So for a valid contract, you need all conditions to be fulfilled. The essential elements of a valid contract are an offer and acceptance. As we saw earlier, there has to be a proposal made or an offer made and has to be accepted by the opposite party. Intention to create legal relations, which means that you specify what happens in terms of and what law covers the contract. Lawful consideration, that means there is an exchange of certain value for something either happening or not happening. legally capable parties, which means that both the parties, or if there are more than two parties, all the parties are legally valid in terms of their age, sound mind, etc. Genuine consent, that means that both the parties or all the parties involved sign the contract on their own permission, which means that they are free, and on their own consent, which means they are free to do it and they are not being forced by anybody. Legal object and consideration not against public policy, which means that the contract has nothing that would harm public policy or the law of the land. Certain terms of the contract. Now here you could specify something that is very, very specific to the terms and conditions that you want the contract to be executed under, which means that if X happens, then Y is the outcome. If Y happens, something else is the outcome. What's the purpose of a contract? The purpose of a contract is to establish and formalize a relationship by clearly defining terms and obligations. What does it do? It ensures clarity and prevents misinterpretation. Serves as a reference for checking terms, provides legal protection in case of disputes, can help avoid arbitration or court. Let's look at it a little more in detail and understand each of these points. The purpose of a contract is to establish and formalize a relationship by clearly defining terms and obligations. Now, when you would sign a purchase order with your supplier, you are getting into a form of a contract, right? Now, if that is the case, what is happening? You are formalizing a relationship. That means he is formally a supplier, you are formally a buyer. Rather, the company is the buyer, but you represent that the company with respect to the supplier. Now, at the same time, you will clearly define terms and obligations, which means that you will, the contract or the purchase order will say that the supplier has to supply you certain number of parts at a set or an agreed, mutually agreed cost or a price. Ensures clarity and prevents misinterpretation. Now there is, the document is worded such that there is no ambiguity at all. It specifies the part number, all the required details, with specifications, with drawings, with all other material that he would require to produce the component and supply you with at the required price. Serves as a reference for checking terms. Let's say you sign this contract at the beginning of the year. Most of the companies would have an annual purchase order, which means that you sign the purchase order or give the purchase order to the supplier at the start of the year. Now, during the year, let us say that you were transferred to another department and somebody else takes over from you at the purchasing department. Now you are going to interact with this supplier. You can definitely go back to this contract and see what are the terms and conditions under which this contract is operating. Provides legal protection in case of disputes. Let's say there is a problem of some deliveries or something from the supplier side, or that he has become a regular defaulter in terms of the adhering to the dates and the schedules that you want him to supply material. Now you talk to him and try and figure it out mutually, but at the same time you realize that no, things are not changing. Then you can get into legal protection if required before you get into going in for arbitration or to court. But the contract will definitely help you to go ahead there. Contract management in supply chain involves creating, negotiating, and managing contracts, aims to mitigate risks, maximize opportunities, and ensure compliance. Unilateral versus bilateral contracts. Unilateral, one party promises to a group. Bilateral, two or more parties exchange promises. Let's understand this a little more. Contract management in supply chain involves creating, negotiating, and managing contracts. So what does this mean? That first you have created the contract, but before even creating that contract, you negotiated and agreed to a price and the terms and conditions. And then the contract was made, which was signed by both the parties. What does it help us to do? It aims to mitigate risks. That means both the parties are protected. For example, how is the supplier protected? There would always be a clause of force majeure, which means that if there are heavy rains like we have in Bombay or the current situation in Chennai, the supplier is protected in terms of sticking to the schedule, because he is trying to combat conditions which are beyond his control. Maximize opportunities and ensure compliance. Compliance here means definitely adhering to the terms and conditions of the contract. Maximize opportunities here would mean that he is trying to give you all the cooperation that you need and maybe even develop new parts. And he is looking at, both of you are looking at new opportunities of further development and further outsourcing to the supplier. Unilateral versus bilateral contracts. Let's look at what this means and with an example. Unilateral, one party promises to a group. What would be an example for this? Let's say you have a pet and that pet is lost. You put up a sign as lost if somebody gives you information or which leads to the finding of the pet, you promise to give them a certain sum or a certain amount. Now that would be a unilateral contract. Now why is it called a contract? Because if somebody, whatever you have written as the terms and conditions, if they are fulfilled by any person or a group of persons, then you stand to stick to your commitment of paying that the promised amount. Bilateral, two or more parties exchange promises. Let's look at what happens in an insurance company. The insurance company agrees that they will cover you or your assets for a certain premium that you pay with certain terms and conditions. Most of the insurance companies today cover even force majeure conditions like heavy rains, flooding of areas, etc. for, let's say, your car or some other, or your house. Now in those conditions, if those conditions are not met, which means that if it does not rain, if there is no force majeure condition, if there is no theft, if nothing untoward happens, that means that they have stuck to their promise in terms of covering you. But had it actually happened, let's say you had a theft and they stood by, you put up a claim and they stuck to that claim, they gave you that claim, which would mean that they have stuck to their part of the promise. What is the promise on your part? That you have not invited trouble, or you have not invited the robber to come and rob your place. Of course, this is on the lighter side. Unilateral contract. One party makes an offer enforceable only if the offeree performs the requested action. Example, reward contract, payment for meeting specified conditions. Insurance contracts, payment if a specified event occurs. A unilateral contract, one party makes an offer enforceable only if the offeree performs the requested action, which means that the example is finding your cat or your dog, and if they are found by somebody or they give you information that leads to finding the pet, then you need to pay that amount. Insurance contracts, payment if a specified event occurs. Now what this means is that how can insurance contracts become unilateral? Because they are saying that you are insured, you have a lot many conditions where you take up an insurance for travel, right? Now this travel insurance is covered only for that specified time period, which means at the end of the journey, the contract is void. Now what you need to do is purchase that, that's all. That means maybe 5 rupees or 10 rupees is what you pay as premium. And that would be covering the contract. Breach of unilateral contracts. Unilateral contracts can be revoked before the offeree starts acting on the obligation. Unilateral contracts can be revoked before the offeree starts acting on the obligation, which means that if you have signed a contract, or rather the We take the case of that pet being lost. Now, before people start really looking for your pet, you withdraw that contract, then you can, it would be a breach of contract. Now, you have not announced this. You first indicated that you wanted the pet to be found. After 2 days, you realized that, no, I'm not able to find that, or I cannot afford that amount of money. And if you withdraw that, then it would be a breach of the contract. Performance type contracts cannot be revoked once the offeree begins acting on the task, which means that once people have started searching for your pet and they have putting in the efforts required, then you cannot withdraw that contract. Reward type contracts can be revoked before completion, even if the offeree has started. Here what they are saying is that if it is only a reward type, which means that you are only going to give something for some doing something. Let's say you go to a fair or you go to one of these exhibitions and there is a competition going on there. If you are able to lift so much of weight, you get a prize. Now, they can be revoked if they realize that that weight that they have offered to be lifted is too less and there are too many people who are, you know, meeting that condition. Then they would withdraw that during the day and say that that's it, we have stopped the prize money. This is a reward type of contract which can be revoked before completion. That means before you lift the weight, even if the offeree has started, which means even if you are agreeing to do that, but they say no, we are withdrawing this offer, they can do that. Bilateral contract, a legally binding agreement between two or more parties with agreed terms. Common in business transactions, breach occurs when one party fails to fulfill or obstructs the other's performance. Examples, refusal to complete a task or violating terms. Let's understand this. Bilateral contract, a legally binding agreement between two or more parties with agreed terms. Common in business transactions. This is what normally happens when we sign contracts with our suppliers. Breach occurs when one party fails to fulfill or obstructs the other's performance. Now this would mean, let's look at it, we saw in the earlier example, what could go wrong from the supplier side. Let's look at it from what could go wrong from the company side. The supplier is performing perfect on his schedules, delivering the way you want material, but you are, for whatever reasons, you are not able to pay him on time. Now, over a period of time, let's say a 2 months or 3 months period, looking at the supplier's financial conditions, he may not be able to continue supplies to you. Now, what has happened? Here, while both of you have signed a contract, the company has defaulted. That means that they are unable to fulfill or obstruct the other's performance. Non-payment of cash or the amount due to the supplier is going to affect his performance. Examples, refuse to complete a task or violating terms. There could also be a situation where you have not completed a task, that is, you have not made the payment, and hence the terms and conditions that you have laid down are being violated. Let's compare unilateral contracts and bilateral contracts. Nature of promise, the offeror fulfills the promise when the offeree completes the action, which means that the prize money or the reward is made available as soon as the offeree has completed the action. Bilateral contracts, all the parties involved in the contract have to fulfill the promise, which means both here as the supplier and the buyer, both of you need to fulfill the promise. Offer, it invites every person to fulfill the contractual obligation and get the reward. So everybody who lifts that weight at the exhibition or the fair is eligible to get the reward. It stays only between the parties involved. If you have signed a contract with one of your suppliers, that contract is valid only between that supplier and the company. Validity of the offer is set by the offerer solely, which they must specify with the offer. So let's say this weightlifting competition or this offer is on. So they need to specify till how long, maybe for the full duration of the exhibition of 4 days, or whether it is only for the day. Set by mutual agreement of both parties, this is in bilateral contracts, set by the mutual agreement of both parties, both know when they have to deliver the promise or make payments. Unilateral versus bilateral contracts, similarities between unilateral and bilateral contracts. Both legally bind parties to fulfill obligations with consequences for non-compliance. We definitely know that whenever there is a contract, there is a compliance required and legally binding for all the parties. Both require a promise and consideration, which means that there has to be an offer made and a promise accepted, and an offer accepted, which means that a promise has been made. And consideration, there has to be a value involved. The four different kinds of contracts agreements: verbal, spoken agreements binding if both parties intend and are capable; written, documented agreements detailing obligations binding once signed; verbal agreements, most of the time we see this in friends when we agree that okay, I'll take care of the transportation or I'll pick you up from so and so spot; binding if both parties intend and are capable. Of course, you only accept that if you have a vehicle, a two-wheeler or a four-wheeler for you to pick up the person or your friend from a given spot; written, documented agreements detailing obligations binding once signed. So you have all the terms, conditions of the agreement, which are documented, and then both of you mutually sign by mutual agreement. Bilateral requires both parties to fulfill agreed conditions. Unilateral involves one party making a promise, often an open offer to others. Bilateral requires both parties to fulfill agreed actions. We agreed that if you don't stick to your conditions, or rather, if either of the parties does not stick to their terms conditions, then the other person is also at a loss. Unilateral involves one party making a promise. We saw in the case of this weightlifting example, where the company or that organization or that agency has made an offer or a promise which is open. Anybody can come in. Once they attempt that process, then they are party to that contract. Offer. An offer is a promise of money or value from a promisor in exchange for a promisee's performance. For a valid contract, an offer must be made, accepted, and include consideration. Let's look at it. An offer is a promise of money or value from a promisor in exchange for our promise's performance. Perfectly fits our example. The promise of money is made by the company or that agency to the promisor, by the promisor, in exchange for a promisee. That means the person who comes there, who has a visitor, and he comes and offers, or rather is agrees to pick up that weight. Now, if he does pick up that weight in the required time or the required weight, then he is eligible to get that promise of money or value from the promisor. For a valid contract, an offer must be made, accepted, and include consideration. Here, in the example that we looked at, there is no official offer that is to be accepted. The offer is available, definitely that is official. But the person going and attempting to lift that weight means that he has accepted, and of course it must have some monetary gain or some prize money, that prize amount or a prize in other form to be, which is accepted by the promisee right in the beginning. Types of agreements: social agreement. Informal agreements, example, attending events. You are invited, you accept the invitation. Once you have accepted an invitation, it is an informal agreement that you have agreed to attend that event. Legal, valid agreement. Legally binding agreements, example, marriages. Normally, any marriage in any religion needs to be finally documented, and a marriage certificate has to be obtained. That actually legally binds the two peer persons in holy matrimony. Void agreement, not enforceable by law, which means that the agreement has been violated right in the beginning and hence cannot be enforceable by law, or there is no agreement in writing. There is no legally binding terms, conditions in that agreement. Then it's a void agreement and it is not enforceable by law. Unenforceable agreement is valid but not enforceable in court. So you have agreed to pick up your friend every day when you are coming to office, because you stay away from his place and he is on the way to the office. Now this is valid, but this cannot be enforced in law, in court. Illegal agreement, contrary to law, which means that you are agreeing to something mutually between the two of you, which is not covered by law. Agreements to agree in future, hypothetical non-binding agreement arrangements. You say that you agree that if it rains the day after tomorrow, I will give you a dinner party or a lunch party or whatever. It's a hypothetical non-binding arrangement. Acceptance, rejection, and termination of an offer. Acceptance, if the offer is accepted and partially paid, the offeror must fulfill the terms, which means this is especially in the case of insurance policies that you take for a year or for life. If the offer is accepted, which means you accept that offer and you start paying even the first premium or partial amount of the first premium, if you are supposed to pay in installments, then the offerer, that means the insurance company, must fulfill the terms. Rejection. Rejecting an offer ends it. The insurance company makes you an offer, but you realize the premium is too high and they are not covering the required terms and the required conditions that you want. Let's say, for example, they are not covering you for accident. If that is the case, you reject the offer, and then that would be rejection of the offer. Counter offer. Modifying terms rejects the original offer, creating a new one. In this same example, you extend it further, you reject the offer, the insurance company or the insurance agent comes back to you and says, sir, what is the problem? What can I change here so that you are ready to accept it? You tell him all you need. He makes a new offer with the terms and conditions that you want them, then it is a counter offer. In this case, the first offer automatically stands cancelled or rejected. Time limit, if the offer has an expiration, it must be accepted within that period or it terminates. This is what happens most of the time when we ask for quotes from suppliers, or if you are employing, or if your management is employing a consultant, he comes, surveys the situation, and then he makes an offer. Most of the time, there would be an expiry date to that offer that has been made. Now, the reason for doing that would be as many as he would have, the consulting company or the consultant would have. But one simple reason comes to mind is that he is making that offer with respect to the present conditions that he has just surveyed. When he puts a validity of, let's say, 15 days, he expects, or in his mind, he is sure that nothing much will change in the next 15 days. So he will still be able to carry out the required task if the company agrees to his offer. Proposal offer. Proposal is the first essential element of valid contract. A proposal is the first step in a valid contract where one person expresses willingness to act or refrain to gain the other's consent. Let's understand this in simple language. Proposal is the first essential element of valid contract. So unless there is a proposal made, you cannot proceed ahead with a contract. A proposal is the first step in a valid contract where one person expresses willingness to act or refrain to gain the other's consent, which means that the first when the proposal is made, that the person who is making that proposal expresses willingness to act or refrain to gain the other's consent. To gain the consent from the other party, the first party either is going to do something or not do something, so that the other party agrees to that, either way. Features: the offer must be communicated, establish a legal relationship, be clear in language, and aim to obtain consent. It can be explicit or implied. Now, what are the features here? The offer must be communicated, which means most of the time this offer, what you would like from anybody else, would be in writing. Establish a legal relationship, which means that it identifies who does what in the process, and there are proper terms describing the two parties. It should be very clear, no ambiguity in terms, in the language that is being used. And aim to obtain consent, which means that it should be made in such a way that the person who is supposed to accept that has sees some gain in the offer. It can be explicit or implied. So there could be certain conditions which could be implied. Some of them are written there. Most of the written conditions would have certain implied additions to the terms and conditions. Elements of a valid offer: parties involved, at least two participants. Of course, you cannot have a one-sided offer. Communication must be communicated to the offeree. So when there are two participants, the person who is making the offer must make it very clear and communicate the offer to the person who is supposed to accept it, that is the offeree. Legal relations should create a legal relationship, which means that the offeror and the offeree should be specified in the offer that is being made. Most of the time you have the company saying that company so and so promises to pay or offers to pay so and so or to XYZ for certain conditions. Obtaining assent: aimed at gaining the offeree's approval, which means that if the company is making an offer to me, it should be trying to gain my consent or approval for the offer that is being made. Conditional: may include specific conditions. There could be conditions said that I have to be of sound mind, I have to be of a certain age, certain other requirements. Acceptance, inconvenience: cannot assume acceptance without communication, which means that unless I communicate that yes, this offer that you made is acceptable, it cannot be conceived that I have accepted the offer. For whatever reason, I am either unwell or I am out of station and unable to communicate, which means that the offer will remain unless it has a time expiry. Classification of offers: express offer, stated verbally or in writing. Implied offer, based on behavior or situation. General offer, open to all, anyone can accept. Specific offer, made to a particular person or group, only they can accept. Let's look at it again. Express offer, stated verbally or in writing, which means that it is properly communicated. Most of the time, although the offer is made verbally, almost in all cases, we look at a document or some paper in writing. Implied offer, based on behavior or situation. Now, when we say that there is a condition that material should not be wet, which means, what is the implied condition here? The implied offer, that the product or the material will be protected from getting wet. Now, that becomes an implied condition. Take another example. You go to a restaurant. Now, there is no contract that you are officially signing, but what is the offer? There is food that is being offered by the restaurant for which you are supposed to make a payment. Now, this is based on behavior or the situation, but this is an example of implied offer. General offer, open to all, anyone can accept. exactly the same situation. The example of the restaurant is open to all. Anyone who walks in can accept it. Specific offer made to a particular person or group, only they can accept. Many a times there are certain conditions that only at a club or some area where only certain people are accepted or specified to be accepted. In that situation, it is a particular person or a specific offer that is made to a specific person or to a specific group of people.